Good morning. We welcome you to Barbers Grove Baptist Church this morning. Those of you in the parking lot, those listening at home, those on the web, we're so glad that you're here, participating, worshiping with us. You know, this is a special week in the life of Christians as we think about the last few days of the earthly life of Jesus before the crucifixion and resurrection. We think about the triumphal entry, we think about the arrest, we think about the trial, the crucifixion, then the resurrection, and a lot of things that are on our minds. And I pray that you'll spend some time this week just meditating on how much the Lord loves you, that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for you. How much Jesus loves you that He would die for your sin, my sin. Father, as we bow before you this morning, thank you so much for your great love. Thank you for caring for us, for meeting our needs, for blessing us. Thank you for the cross and thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that we can stand before you righteous, justified, holy, because we have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray today for every person that's listening that they might hear something through the music, the prayers, the message that would be used by the Holy Spirit to touch their hearts. Lord, it's good to be in your house. It's good to worship you. And we want you to know that we love you just as you love us. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning to you all. It's Palm Sunday. And as we think about Palm Sunday, of course, we, as the pastor has already said, we think about a lot of things. But one thing that is foremost on our mind, of course, is the cross. And the song that we're going to do, if our hymn sing this morning, we're going to ask Tom to lead out on At the Cross.
Oh,
all the people said amen. Thank you, Tonda, for leading out at the cross. I have some announcements for you for this Sunday, March the 28th. This will be the last Sunday for the closed sanctuary service. We will begin opening for open sanctuary service. Certainly Easter sunrise, we hope to be able to be outside for Easter sunrise next Sunday, but beginning the 11th, we will be back inside, not only for the worship, but also for the children's church. So all of that will be starting on the 11th. Let's try our very best Sunday morning to come early at 7 o'clock. That's what we're planning on for the sunrise service. If the weather permits, we will be outside where we normally go. Otherwise, we'll come inside and have the service inside at 7. Or if perhaps the weather is real cold, you may get a one call, and we may move the service up to 10. But it's just wait and see how the weather goes. We'll know more about that around Saturday, and we'll keep you all informed of that. As we think about coming back into the sanctuary, we're also going to ask that you come in and worship where you're comfortable. No one's going to dictate to you, but we want you to know that this sanctuary is available to you. But also that you can, if you're not comfortable right now, even with that, the webcast is still going to be available and be live in the parking lot, and also at 12:30 like usual. So all that's going to be still available if you choose to do it that way. Hope that days soon will be here where we all can be here and be comfortable with worshiping together as we have done it in the past. So let's all keep that in our prayers and go forward from there. We will be having our quarterly conference on April the 18th, and we have a lot of business to cover that time, so be sure to be here at that time. We'll bring you up to date on what's happened and what's going to happen. All that will be done on April the 18th. I want to also let you know that the parsonage is officially sold. We closed Friday. The money will be transferred sometime, probably Monday or Tuesday, into our account. And the people are actually in the house this morning, I noticed as I came by. So we welcome them to the neighborhood. I have invited them to church, and we'll see how all that goes. But I want to let you know they have been invited. The pastor told me that I had better do that. So I told him yesterday before I signed anything, they had to promise to come and visit. The lady who is purchasing the home said she had a home church. And so I told her, well, I understood that. All right. So let's just welcome them to the neighborhood. Just don't forget the Annie Armstrong offering. We're in full steam with that right now. So don't forget to do that. I think up to date, we're around $220 somewhere, Pastor, on that so far. So keep that in your mind as we go forward. Okay. And that's all the announcements I have for today. We now want to turn our attention to the prayer requests that we have and what I've received. Charlene Harville did not have any blockages, but she's still experiencing some pain and discomfort. But we praise the Lord that she didn't have to have any surgery, any stents or anything at all. So they sent her back home, and we hope and pray they'll soon find the reason for the pain. Let's remember Debbie Duncan. She's a special friend of mine and Donna. But she has breast cancer. Also, her daughter Kelly Hass has been diagnosed in the same week with skin cancer. So we lift that family up to them, to you all, to the Lord, and ask that we pray for them. Let's remember Brenda Burris. Brenda went back to the doctor, and they have now told her that she will have surgery on her ankle and foot on April the 20th, and Brenda will be out of commission for as far as being able to be here with us for over 5 weeks. And so she's not going to be able to be here on the 11th as we open up our sanctuary, because she will be under quarantine for COVID. And so what I'm saying about all of that is Brenda's going to be missing from our presence for 5 or 6 more weeks, and we need to give her a call and show her some love and show her as she goes through this surgery. That's all the prayer requests I have today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us and this special day as we focus on what a precious gift you gave us. And Lord, you gave everything you had back to us that we may have life and have a more special life and salvation. We thank you, Lord, for that gift, Lord. And now, Lord, as we think about the blessings that we all have, before I ask you, Lord, for anything today, we need to say thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the people that are in our parking lot. We thank you for the people that's going to be listening to this service on the webcast. And we thank you, Lord, for salvation and for the cross. But now, Lord, there's a few people that we need to lift up special to you this morning. We pray for Charlene. Continue to pray for her as they'll find soon the problem for their pain. But we do give you a big praise, Lord, for the fact that she didn't have to have any surgery. But we pray for Debbie Duncan with cancer and her daughter Kelly for cancer as well. We lift them up to you, Lord. And then Brenda, Lord, who has been so faithful to us, Lord, through all the pandemic. She's been over there on that the organ, and every time I ask her to be there, she's there. And she's also our church secretary and treasurer. Lord, we lift her up to you, and we pray for her as she goes through this surgery. And, Lord, we pray for that to be successful, and she can join us real soon. We ask a special blessing now, Lord, upon our service today as we go forward. We thank you for Pastor Ed, and we lift him up to you as he comes and presents the message to us today. And then, Lord, as we're getting ready to come back into the sanctuary and our services, Lord, we pray that you would bless us. Lord, bless our efforts, Lord, as we make an effort, Lord, again to come back in fellowship. And now, Lord, as we go forward today, we're going to be very, very careful to say, Lord, we thank you. And, Lord, we know that every blessing is something that you give us. And we give us with your love. And now, Lord, we close this prayer in your name. Amen. We have a praise song for you today that I'm going to ask the Towers to sing. It's about the cross, and I think it fits today's service very well. It says, I rest my case at the cross.
The cross.
You know, it's the cross and the resurrection that makes all the difference in the world. Makes a difference whether we go to heaven or hell. Makes a difference in that kind of life that we live between now and the end of life. Last year this time, the political race for the White House was just heating up. We had no idea who would be president and vice president at this time. Also, at last year this time, we were beginning to hear something about COVID. There was a case out in California and one in Washington State, and suddenly somebody that visited Washington State came back to North Carolina with it. And before we know it, it was everywhere. Now, is there anybody listening to me today that would have predicted the last year? The riots, the political campaign, the masks, the social distancing, schools and churches closed, toilet paper shortages, paper towel shortages, all of those kind of, anybody that were predicted it. Now, let me ask you an even more far-fetched question. Do you know of anybody back in 1300 that predicted it? Well, would anybody like to make a prediction for the year 2721? Think about it. One of the ways that we know the Bible is true is to look at the prophecies that God gives. The Lord spoke, the prophet wrote it down, and probably the prophet didn't begin to understand everything that he said and everything that he wrote, but he said, this is what God gave me, so this is what I'm sharing with the people. In Isaiah 53, we read a report from the prophet that had been revealed to him by the Lord 700 years before the time of Jesus. And if you read it, you'd think it was written by one of the disciples who witnessed the life of Jesus. In fact, if you remember correctly, when Philip, the deacon, was on his way to down through the road of going to Gaza and runs into the Ethiopian eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. And he says, I don't understand it. And he says, Philip took that passage and spoke to him about Jesus and explained Jesus from Isaiah 53. So let's read that chapter, and then we want to just take a look at it and see how much it describes the Lord Jesus. And we might not get into everything, but we'll get into part of it. Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 1. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness when we shall see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul into death, he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Just think about all of that. Verse 2 says, he came as a root out of dry ground. A root out of dry ground. One translation says that's a sign of the virgin birth. The fact that he was born without a human father. But I think also about the time in which Jesus was born. Most of the world worshiped idols and demons. All kinds of idolatry and satanic practices. And the Jews of that day, they had a relationship with God, but not much of one. It was more rules. The common people couldn't keep all the rules. And it seems like the religious leaders kept the silly rules and overlooked the tough ones. I mean, nothing that God says is silly, but he said they would go out and count the number of leaves on some herb in the garden and tithe those leaves. And yet, as Jesus accused them, they mistreated widows and they mistreated their own parents. Now, folks, when you mistreat widows and when you mistreat your parents, that's serious business. They had some rules, but it didn't mean much. And how often they were angry and hatred toward Jesus. Then in verse 3, it says he was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him, for he was despised and we esteemed him not. Despised, rejected, hated. You think about the life of Jesus. Herod tried to kill him at his birth. When he preached one of those first sermons in Nazareth, his hometown, they took him out to the cliff and wanted to pitch him over and kill him. His hometown folks said, well, who is this? And we know his mom and his daddy and his brothers and his sisters. Where did he get to be so smart? How often the religious leaders hated him. If you read a more modern translation, sometimes in the Gospels it said, and they hated him, and they sought to destroy him. They sought to kill him. They accused him of working in the power of the devil. Yes, Jesus was truly despised and rejected. Then look at why he came. Wounded for our transgressions, verse 5. Bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 8. Start in the middle. For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Was he stricken? Verse 12. Beginning in the middle of the verse. Because he hath poured out his soul into death, he was numbered with the transgressions, and he bare the sin of many. It's our sins. It's our sins that put him on the cross. Over and over and over again, Isaiah says, folks, there's coming one who's going to die because of the sins of others. And it's so, so special. Because if you look at the past part of verse 9, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. In other words, he was pure. Jesus was pure. He was holy. He was innocent. And yet, he died for us. And it doesn't matter whether you see yourself as a great sinner or a medium sinner, or you feel like you hardly have any sin in your life at all. But he died for all of our sins. It would only take one sin. One sin to have us to go to hell apart from Jesus. He died for our sins. We're guilty. And I realize that today everybody, not everybody, but there are a great number of people that try to explain away sin and say, well, it's just an alternate lifestyle, or it's a matter of choice, or it's a matter of this, that, or the other, or I don't see it that way. But folks, anything that affronts a holy God is sin. And there's evil in all of our hearts. We're born with a sinful nature. You don't believe that? Just go back to the nursery. Get a little past the nursery. The toddlers, and they get to fussing, I want that toy, you want that toy. They don't even have a concept of sin, but they have a concept of selfishness. Sometimes a concept of greed, anger. We're all guilty of sin, and Jesus died for our sins. You know, it also says here that it's our stripes, it's his stripes that made the difference. His stripes that made the difference. Think about his trial. How illegal it was. Think about the fact that he didn't defend himself. Verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't defend himself. Pilate could not believe that Jesus didn't defend himself. I imagine that Pilate over the years had heard all kinds of things. I'm not guilty. I'm being railroaded. They're just angry with me. It's not my fault. Please spare me. All kinds of things. All kinds of excuses. I'm sure Pilate probably had people get down on his on their knees in front of him and beg for mercy. And Jesus opened not his mouth. He didn't defend himself. He did tell Pilate, said, you would have no power against me if I didn't give it to you, if God didn't give it to you. But in any case, he didn't defend himself. Amazing. Amazing. Then look at the company that Jesus had in his death. Verse 9. He made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death. Isn't it interesting? Jesus is the one on the middle cross. Criminals on either side. And one of the criminals admitted, yes, we are here because we deserve to be. He doesn't deserve to be. Made his death with the wicked. And yet, he was buried in a rich man's tomb. He made his grave. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. Isaiah could have only known all of this apart from the revelation of the Holy God. He couldn't have understood crucifixion and all kinds of things and the piercing and the beatings and the whippings and everything that Jesus went through. Did you notice there where he talked about his stripes? His stripes, the beating, the whipping, all of those kind of things that made the difference in our lives. Isaiah could have only known that apart from the Father. But you know, Isaiah didn't really end there. Because Isaiah sees a resurrection. Did you catch that? Middle of verse 10, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah sees a restoration of favor, a restoration to favor, a restoration. So if there's going to be a restoration of favor and a restoration of glory, there's got to be a resurrection. I mean, if the crucifixion was the end, that's the end. And there's nobody or nothing to restore. But if God says, I'm going to restore him and he's going to have favor and he's going to have blessing, then that means there's a resurrection. 700 years prior, he sees a resurrection. And that just reminds us that Jesus lives. He sits with the Heavenly Father on the throne of heaven. And we just worship him and praise him. Now, what's the end result of all of it? Isaiah sees that too. In verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul. She shall be satisfied by the knowledge. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, because he bore their iniquities. Those who believe in Jesus will be made righteous. Those who believe in Jesus will have an eternity with God. And then in those verses we read, 4, 5, and 6 earlier, all of our sins were on Jesus. All of our sins were on Jesus. Folks, you don't have to bear them. He bore them. You can lay them down at his feet, and they are forever. Forever forgiven. The Bible tells us that first, that for thousands of years, Israel sacrificed animals for their sin. And in a sense, they just put it off the final penalty. And then Jesus, the Bible says, made one sacrifice for sin forever, and paid it all off. And I think about an experience I had that I hope will help you to understand this. When we were getting ready to buy the house here in Albemarle, And my money was all tied up in the house that we owned, partially owned in Oklahoma. And I needed some money for a down payment. And I knew that I had an insurance policy that I could borrow against. And I thought, one agent told me that, hey, I could take out X number of dollars, and that'd just be it. But then I got a call from somebody that was over him, said, oh no, that isn't the way it works. Says, you borrow that money, you got to pay it back. He said, now you can pay the interest on that money every year and never pay it back. But it's got to be paid for. And that's the way it was with Jesus. Those animal sacrifices paid the interest every year, but it took the blood of Jesus to pay the balance, to pay the main principal back. Folks, he died for your sin and mine. And notice as you look at these various verses and various phrases, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace upon him, with his stripes we are healed. He took our sins, he took our griefs, he took our physical sicknesses. There's an old song that said, be of sin a double cure. Jesus took it all. Jesus took it all for you and for me. That means that when we've sinned, we can go to him for forgiveness. Oh, what a precious promise. That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can go to him when our hearts are hurting for peace and comfort, and know that he understands. The Bible says he was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. So he understands when you're hurting. He understands when you're tempted. He understands when you're in pain. And just as Jesus healed multiple thousands and the disciples healed thousands, we can go to him when we're sick for healing and believe for that healing. Isaiah says Jesus took all of our bad stuff so we could have his good stuff. I like to think of it that way. Jesus took all of our bad stuff so we could have his good stuff. 700 years before Jesus walked the face of the earth, God said to the prophet Isaiah, there's someone special coming. Let's describe him. Philip used this verse, or this chapter, to describe Jesus to an Ethiopian. This chapter describes Jesus to you and me. As the song says, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. He took it all. He bore it all for you and for me. And I pray that this Easter season, you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I saw some Easter advertisements with the Easter bunnies and the little Easter baskets and all kind of cute little things, and talked about celebrating Easter. Folks, if all Easter is to you is an Easter bunny and candy eggs and dying eggs, you miss the point. Easter is about Jesus. Easter is about God so loved that he gave. Easter is about one in being horribly treated, mistreated, and crucified, but rising again. Easter is about a loving God with outstretched arms says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Easter is about God with loving, open arms saying, all that come to me, I will not cast out. And I pray, dear friend, that Easter is real to you because Jesus is real to you. If you've never received Jesus, I pray that you'll do that even this day, even this minute. Just admit, Lord, I'm so glad and thankful that Jesus died for me. Lord, would you please forgive me of my sin? I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus coming to my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And if you'll make that commitment, you'll go from death to life. You go from a ticket to hell to a ticket to heaven. Father, as we bow before you this morning, I thank you that in your infinite wisdom, 700 years earlier, you told Isaiah all about Jesus. He saw through a glass darkly, but now we can see the reality. We can match up Isaiah with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how true the prophecy was. And Father, I thank you for that great love for us that Jesus had to die for us. At any point, he could have said, no, they're not worth it. But at every point, he chose to take our sin, our suffering, our pain. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior that's listening, that the Holy Spirit will be so loving to draw them to Jesus this very minute. And I pray that we all will celebrate a resurrected Lord, a loving Lord. And Lord, that this week we'll find ourselves saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Many, many times. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.